नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद Today is Gundicha Marjana. We didn't manage to write the shloka on the board. I'd like to recite the first shloka of the Gundicha Marjana chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 12. So the first shloka, I just read the Sanskrit and then the translation. Shri Gundicha Mandiram Atma Vrindai Sammarjayam Shalanatasa Gauraha Swachitta Vachitalam Ujjvalancha Krishna Paveshaupayikam Chakaram. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made it as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Shri Krishna to sit. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Cleaning the heart is a very difficult task. But the good thing is that it's Krishna's job if we allow him to do it. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's explained, Shrivatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyantasto Nyabhadrani Vidunoti Suhrit Satam. That Krishna, he is there inside the heart of every living entity and he is ready to clean the heart of the living entities. And the only thing is that we have to cooperate. We have to accept and we have to cooperate in that cleaning process by Shravana and Kirtana. If we agree to receive the message of Krishna consciousness, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on, and we also chant that message, or if we chant and hear the holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So simply by that process, Krishna from inside the heart, he starts cleaning. Chetodarpana Marjanam. And nobody can be better in that job than Krishna himself. Now, if we try to purify the heart by our own austerities, by our own cultivation of knowledge, by our own pious activities, that is not sufficient. But if we take shelter of Krishna and we chant and hear his glories, simply by doing that, we are saying, yes, Krishna, I want you to purify my heart, please, please do it. So Krishna, he's happy to clean our hearts, and he can do it perfectly and most efficiently as long as we agree and we cooperate in that process. So the whole pastime of cleaning the Gundicha temple is based on that principle. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating it by his own example. He is the primary person cleaning the temple and he's engaging all his associates in doing that. And all the time while they clean, they are all together chanting the holy names. Okay, so I'm sure everybody knows the pastime here. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'm going to try to explore some of the special features of these pastimes and try to learn some lessons from them, extract some lessons. So the first lesson we just mentioned in the introduction, which is that Krishna himself is the cleaner, but we have to cooperate. Then the next point is that it's not a one-time job. Cleaning the heart is not something that we do once and then it's finished. But it's an ongoing thing. It's every day chanting Hare Krishna, every day practicing devotional service in different ways. Because the tendency of the material world is that it's always a contaminating place. Everywhere there are objects for sense gratification, everywhere there is opportunity for somehow or another forgetting Krishna. It's a world full of distractions and full of things that can become obstacles in our process of devotional service. So consciously or unconsciously, we're always interacting with people, we're always seeing things, doing things, hearing things, and we're affected by the environment. So we have to be always cleaning, just like a house. A house has to be swept every day. It's not that I can say, okay, let me sweep the house two times today and then tomorrow I can skip. Is that going to work? No, if I sweep twice today, that means tomorrow there will be no dust. Or maybe I can sweep five times the house and then for the rest of the week I leave it. Is it going to remain clean? Every day the dust is coming, so every day we have to sweep. So in the same way, it's not that we can chant 64 rounds today and then the rest of the week we just relax. No, we have to chant every day our quota. It's constantly going on, and just like in a river also, the material world is just like a river flowing towards hell. If we just relax and don't do anything, we are pushed down towards degradation. But if we want to go upstream, then we have to constantly be putting some endeavor, always rowing our boat, no, against the current. So that's the material world. The spiritual world is a different reality. But in the spiritual world, in the material world, it's always, we're always going against the current. We always have to put some endeavor. And if we stop doing endeavor, we cannot even stay in the same place. Actually, we're pushed down. So all the time, we have to be working on that. And it means putting energy. Nothing happens without energy. We have to put some energy, and then we can make progress, we can go against the current of material world and make spiritual advancement. And we also should keep in mind that the dirt has many layers. It's not just one layer and then, no, it's finished. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his cleaning of the Gundicha temple, he started cleaning the straw and the gross dirt in the temple. And they make big piles of that, they took outside. So that was one level. Then they came back again, and they started sweeping the fine dust. So it's another level of cleaning. Then they came with water pots, and they started throwing on the ceiling, on the walls, and everywhere, and the water is coming down and washing the whole temple. That's another level of cleaning. Then with his own clothes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mopping the floor, and that's another level. And then he starts polishing the altar, the Vyasasana. So all these are levels of cleaning. And the same thing happens in our process of Krishna consciousness. We have to start cleaning the gross anarthas, not very gross desires for sense gratification, illicit activities. And that's easier to do in one sense, because it's very obvious. We can easily identify, okay, this is wrong. I should not do that, no? But gradually, that cleaning process becomes more and more subtle. It becomes difficult for us to identify, becomes difficult for other people to identify, and it may go on for a long time, and I think it's all fine. But still, the same principles are there, the same problems are there in a more subtle form. So then we really need to pray to Krishna to help us identify the subtle contaminations and give us the strength to get rid of them. So all this is done through the process of chanting, hearing about Krishna, and taking good association and practicing all the different angas of bhakti. So the layers of dirt are removed one by one, you know, from gross to subtle. The process starts in the cleaning stage starts after Bhajana Kriya. As soon as we start practicing devotional service, that cleaning is going on. But it continues up to the stage of Baba. Even a devotee who is awakening his love of God, still some traces, some remnants of dirt are still there in a very subtle form. And they can still drag the devotee down to material life. You know, just like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, it's explained that he had come to the point of Baba. And from that state, still he fell down. He became attached to a deer. It's a very, very subtle attachment. In the gross stage, we become attached to women, to money. In a less gross, then we become attached to fame, prestige, recognition. And finally, now he was attached to taking care of a deer, who is a helpless creature, who lost his mother. So it's not very easy to understand. No, one thinks, no, what's wrong with that? No, this deer, he lost his mother, and no, it's such a poor, helpless creature, so I have to help. It's my duty, how can I be cruel and hard-hearted and leave such a poor creature alone? So, he was taking care of the deer. And taking care of the deer was not the problem, but the difficulty is that generally when you take care of someone, the person who is taking care becomes more attached than the one who is being taken care. Usually, even though the children, they are very dependent on the parents, they're fully dependent on all respects. A small baby is born, he depends on the mother for everything, no? For eating, for dressing, for cleaning, for every aspect of life. They cannot survive without the care of the mother. So the child is fully dependent. But who is the one who becomes more attached? Is the child or the mother? So it's amazing, because if you think, no, from the logical perspective, the one who is depending, he should be the more attached, because I am the one who depends. But there is some psychological arrangement that the person who is dependent upon becomes more attached. So it's a subtle thing. And Bharat Maharaj, he became so attached to the deer. Even though he was not depending on the deer, he had already renounced his whole kingdom, so much wealth, so much power, so much beauty, so much everything. And even though he was able to give up all that sense gratification in gross and subtle forms, but then he became attached on a very subtle level to a deer. Attachment of being the protector, of being the well-wisher, of being the friend. But ultimately, Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone. Krishna is the best friend of everyone. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the controller of everything. So one should not think that, oh, I am the one who is maintaining my family, I am the one who is keeping everything going on. No? If I'm not here, then my service cannot go on. If I'm not here, my family cannot go on. And then that sense of, I am the controller, I am the well-wisher, I am, that also binds one in a subtle way. So all that is going on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing different levels of cleaning. So, another thing that we see in this pastime is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not simply cleaning the temple room, but he's cleaning also around the temple, all the area around. And why is that? No? The Lord is coming inside the temple. Why should he bother cleaning outside? The thing is that the external environment, even though it's external, but it affects the internal environment. So, if we are trying to keep the heart very clean by the spiritual process chanting Hare Krishna. But the external environment is dirty. Our house is dirty, the temple is dirty, the kitchen is dirty, our clothes are dirty, our bead bag is dirty, and so on. Then what happens is that because of the influence of the external environment, very easily the contamination can go inside also. So sattva guna or cleanliness is near to godliness, because the external environment being clean, that helps to maintain the internal purity also. And one example that you can give here is the altar. The altar, we should imagine, it is going to always be clean, because only Radha Madhava are there. They're very clean, very pure. And only the pujaris can go inside. And before going inside, the pujaris, they have to take full bath. They have to put clean clothes. So they go inside, and all the paraphernalia that is taken inside is purified. So the altar, theoretically, should remain forever clean, should never be dirty. But if outside of the altar is full of dust, full of flower petals, full of whatever, things that fall down and is not clean, then whenever someone comes inside, they will bring that dirt inside. So cleaning the surroundings helps to maintain the internal sanctuary also clean. So it's the same thing. To keep our heart clean, of course, the internal process of cleaning, chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the main thing. But also keeping the external environment clean and living the mode of goodness, all that is favorable and helps us to maintain the purity. So that we see also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, knowing his pastime, cleaning all around the temple. And then we have to also be careful not to only try to prevent dirt from coming inside, but we have to proactively be trying to spread purity and cleanliness everywhere. Let me try to explain that in a better way. In the military language, it is said that the attacking is the best defense. That's a principle of war. If you want to be safe, if there is a war, and you're only trying to make a safe border and putting so many, you make so many fences and so many walls and so many protections and soldiers there on the border, trying to prevent the enemy from coming inside. That's not a very good defense. Because sooner or later, they're going to find one little space and they're going to come in. So the best defense is actually you identify some potential danger and you proactively, you act on that. So that's a principle of war. No, you're active. You don't just wait passively trying to block yourself from a possible invasion, but you see some danger and you act on that. So in the same way, if we only try to protect ourselves from Maya, and we don't positively preach, then it's not a good defense. Let's say someone wants to be protected. So they come to Mayapur because they don't want to be in the world outside, thinking, no, if I go outside, Maya is so strong, Maya is going to catch me. So I'll stay only in Mayapur Dam. But then in Mayapur Dam, you find out also there are some dangers, no? Maybe go to the temple and there are so many Matajis in the temple and I am Brahmachari and I don't want to see the Matajis. So I don't go to the temple anymore because Matajis are all over the place and I'm going to get agitated. They have so many colorful saris and this and that and uncle bells and I cannot go. So you don't go to the temple. You lock yourself in the room. Or you only go to the temple when nobody's there. No, you figure out, okay, no, darshanarati is very dangerous. Let me go only in the afternoon or sometime when nobody's there, then I can see Radha Madhava peacefully. And then, like that, you try in your life to lock yourself, to block Maya. Okay, from this side I block, from that side I block, and from all sides you try to block. You end up just locking yourself in a cave, thinking that, okay, in this way Maya cannot catch me. Now, there is no influence from the external world, I'm just locked in a cave. But the thing is that Maya even can come through our mind and act inside. So it's not enough. It's not enough to block. Just to try to close all the gates and all the possible entrances is not a good defense, because it's only passive. It has to be an active defense. So one example of that, no? It was very interesting. Apparently, no, it's not so easy to perceive, but was very instructive. Some years ago, I was living in a farm community, and in that farm, we had so many banana trees. It's an 800 hectares land. It's a huge land, and it's in Brazil, and the area is full of banana trees everywhere in the forest. So the devotees, they developed a product, which is a dry banana. We would collect the bananas and dry them in a very simple process. We just had a fire, and from the fire we had some pipes going through the fire, metal pipes, and then these pipes, they're going through the fire, they're very hot, so, and there are fans blowing air from outside through the pipe, through the fire, inside a wooden box. Just a wooden box, no? And inside the wooden box we have some shelves, and we put bananas there. So what is going on? The bananas are there without the peel, and the air from outside is coming through the fire and going inside the chamber and drying the bananas. Okay? So it's a very rough system. Just a fire, pipes, and a wooden box full of, how do you call it, some small cracks and bananas inside. And we did that for years, drying the bananas like that. And our banana was very tasty and was very pure. We would pack the banana, and even after 1 year, the banana was still good. And we would never get any bugs or anything, any fungus or anything developing inside the packet. And it was very simply done. Like, we didn't have any industrial process. On the other hand, in the same shops where we would put our bananas to sell, the shopkeepers would tell us when we come, it's amazing that your bananas, they never go bad. No, even though you put 6 months validity, even after the expiry date, even after 1 year, we open the packet and it's still good. On the other hand, all the other products we get from the factories, they get spoiled very quickly. They put 3 months, 4 months validity, and after 2 months already it's getting moldy. How is that possible? So the thing is that in the factories, some devotees went to visit the factories to see how they work. And everybody has to work with gloves and with mask and with covered head so that no hair can fall. And everything is made of stainless steel, and everything has to be sterilized, and everything has to be airtight. It's a whole system trying to impede any dirt or any bug or any insect to go inside the bananas. But even with all the endeavor to stop the dirt from coming inside, still the product would get contaminated somehow. Because you can never 100% block all the contamination, all the dust, all the insects, all the bacteria, whatever, I don't know. Something can go inside, and then from inside it starts developing, and then the product would get moldy, or some worm would grow inside. So how was that possible, no? We were thinking, how our banana, which we just wash on a sink in a farm, no? We take with the hands without gloves, we put in a shelf, in a box, wooden box full of cracks, and it's always clean, it's always pure. So then one day, the devotee who developed that system, he got the insight. He understood what's going on, huh? What's the secret? The secret is that in our process, it was not just a passive defense, it was active. Because the air is coming from higher pressure from outside, because the fan is blowing the air, and it's going through the fire. So in the fire, that air becomes purified, and then even though there are so many cracks in the box, the air is only going out all the time because there is a positive pressure from inside. So similarly, someone who has a positive Krishna conscious pressure from inside, that means he's always trying to give Krishna consciousness. He's always irradiating Krishna consciousness, going out and preaching and sharing, no? And trying to make other people Krishna conscious. So by that process, our own heart becomes purified. And we are more protected than the one who is only trying to avoid all kinds of contamination, all kinds of association, all kinds of seeing and hearing and experiencing, etc. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, they are cleaning the temple. They are actively trying to clean the temple. So if we try to clean not only our heart, but we try to clean the hearts of other people also, we try to spread the message of Krishna consciousness, and constantly we are trying to speak, we are trying to share realization, we are trying to go out and distribute the message, that is the best defense. Not just trying to escape from Maya, but attacking Maya, not proactively. So that's a very important realization that we can learn from this pastime. Also Prabhupada, he writes in a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39. No, Prabhupada is giving the explaining how the rivers are always flowing towards the sea. So generally we think you cannot revert that process. So in the material world also, material desires are always flowing inside the mind. Apurya manam achala pratishtam samudra mapa pravishanti adva. That's Bhagavad Gita. So the rivers of material desires are flowing into the heart all the time. And how can you stop a river? Appears to be impossible task. Just like it's impossible task to impede all the material objects and all the material desires to flow into our consciousness. It's going on all the time. But Prabhupada gives us the solution. How can we overcome that? So Prabhupada says, when the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded. And the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desires to serve the Lord. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all material desires for sense gratification. So it's the same principle. When our desire for Krishna consciousness becomes like the ocean and it rises higher and higher inside the heart, then it overflows. So whenever a person is overflowing with Krishna consciousness, then he's going to preach. So he's overflowing, he's irradiating spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the material desires, which are like rivers, they cannot enter, because there's a positive pressure from inside, which overcomes the external pressure. Okay, so then, finally, as the most essential instruction that we learn from this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs that we should not only execute the different limbs of devotional service, not only perform our different duties in life, either directly or indirectly serving Krishna, but throughout that process we should always be chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, in this age of Kali, we know that Harinama Sankirtan is the primal process. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti His Sumedha Saha. That's what the Bhagavatam prescribes. It's not that we only chant Hare Krishna. That's not always possible. That may be possible for some devotees like Haridas Thakur. But for most of us, it's not possible to only chant Hare Krishna. We also have so many other duties to fulfill. And we also have either directly or indirectly to be engaged in Krishna service. So the point is, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai. Praya means that mostly or prominently we should be chanting Hare Krishna. And that means that whatever we do, that should be followed or accompanied by Harinama Sankirtana. So in the pastime of Gundicha Marjana, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally chanting the holy name all the time. And everyone is doing that. They're cleaning the floor, they're sweeping the floor, but they're also chanting. And whenever someone is going to get some water, so one who is getting water is chanting Krishna, Krishna. And one who is asking for the bucket is saying Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. So whatever they need, they don't say, oh, you pass me the broom. But they say, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. And the other one is saying, oh, give me the bucket. No, no, they say, Hari, Hari. And the other one say, Gauranga. And the other one say, Krishna, Krishna. And like that. In that way, they're always communicating just by the holy name of the Lord. I saw that taking place in the Shantipur. Shantipur Festival, distributing prasada. No, every year we have a big prasada distribution in Shantipur for Advaita Acharya's celebration of his Madhavendra Puri's Vyasa Puja. No, so there is a huge prasada distribution, and the devotees are all carrying big buckets and even big containers of khichdi. So once I was there, and then there is a big line, no? There's a big line of devotees bringing buckets. At one point, we realized that it can be faster if you make a line, like a human chain, and then you just pass the buckets through the chain. So the first person was there by the kitchen, and the last one is there by the serving rows. And then from there it goes, not for serving. So when the bucket was coming, then everybody's saying, Gauranga, 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 so you know the bucket is coming from that side. So you look that side, no? And then you catch the bucket and you give it to the next one. And when the empty bucket is coming from the other side, then it's Nityananda, Nityananda. And then you look the other side and you get the bucket. And like that, Gauranga, Nityananda, Gauranga, Nityananda. Everybody's just chanting Gauranga, Nityananda all the time. And sometimes it's not a bucket, but it's a huge container that two devotees have to carry at the same time. So then, Advaita Gosai, Advaita Gosai, then you know, it's not only one, two people have to come and grab the container and pass it on. So like that, the holy name has been chanted all the time, and prasada has been distributed, no, in Advaita Acharya's place. So that's the example. In everything you do, if you are worshipping the deity, if you are cleaning the temple, if you are cleaning the house, if you are cooking, whatever you do, we can always add the holy name, either by chanting it, or by playing it, or by hearing it, or by somehow or another having that sound vibration there. Is the most powerful process for cleaning the heart, Chetodarpana Marjanam. And so you should take full advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the chanting of the Lord's glories in so many different ways. Okay, so these are some of the points we could identify here. First of all, we understand it's Krishna's job. We cannot clean the heart on our own. We have to take shelter of Krishna and allow Krishna to do the cleaning process. We do that by Shravana and Kirtana. Then it's a continuous process. Not only today we do a lot of Shravana Kirtana, then we forget. We have to keep doing it every day, continuously. Then we have to remember there are different layers of dirt, and we have to go on and on, more and more subtle cleaning. Praying to Krishna to help us to identify the subtle anarthas and get rid of them. We have to remember that the external environment also influences us, so keeping our life in the mode of goodness, cleanliness, etc., that's also very helpful to maintain the internal purity. We have to be proactive, not just trying to isolate ourselves, but trying to actually give out Krishna consciousness to everyone. And we have to constantly and enthusiastically chant Hare Krishna. Okay, so these are some of principles. If anybody would like to add some more principles that we can see in this pastime, or to add some comment, or ask any question. So we have some minutes. Can you say hello, Prabhu?
You mentioned Bharata Maharaj. He got rid of gross anarchists and subtle anarchists, but still there's this attachment to the deer was still there. So I believe friend of the everybody tried to be friend of everybody, like prohibition. It's a subtle and not that.
It is very, very subtle artha. We want to be nice to everyone. We want to be the friend of everyone. We want to do good to everyone. No? And but if you think that I am the friend, I am the well-wisher, I am the controller, I am the protector, that is not me. Krishna is the one. Instead of trying to become, instead of trying to go and becoming the well-wisher of everyone, no, let Krishna become the well-wisher. So you tell this person, you become a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna is your best friend. Not that you try to make them depend on you, and oh, I am your best friend, or you have to depend on me, you know. Oh, I'm so good to you, I'm protecting you all the time. No, if you're really trying to do good to that person, you help them to become devotees of Krishna. Help them to understand that Krishna is their protector, Krishna is their master, Krishna is their well-wisher, Krishna is the best friend. So that's the real benefit you can give to people. Understand? Was that the question or?
It was a question. I want to verify.
Is that okay?
So on another side, on the other hand, we are devotees are compassionate and Maitreya friendly, very friendly.
Yes.
So there is the line, subtle line, which we might not cross. So keep,
yes,
like to.
We are compassionate by giving Krishna consciousness. We want them to become dependent on Krishna. So when you do that and you are detached, you don't want to become the protector, you don't want to become the nice person. In other words, you're not attached to being recognized and to receiving, oh, that person has to be grateful to me because no, I did so much for him. Or it's not like that. Like a mother should be always compassionate and taking care of the child, but should not be expecting the child to acknowledge and becoming attached to the child. It's very common for a mother that, okay, she's doing everything as she should do as a mother, taking care of the child, but then she becomes over-attached and she cannot let the child go and become a devotee and sometimes has to send to Gurukula, for example. And then the mother cannot send. Oh no, I only have one son, I cannot send my only son, how can I stay without my son? So then the same feeling which was good becomes detrimental because now some attachment was developed. That, oh, it's my son, I have to protect, I have to give everything I have. And then you cannot let the child progress. Or a preacher also may become very attached to being the well-wisher, to being the savior. No, and then that attachment is not good. You want all the attention, you want all the recognition, all the gratefulness for you. But it's not. You should direct them to Krishna without attachment. You do your duty and you, without developing attachment for them, without expecting anything for yourself. Sometimes you want everybody to like you, and then you want to be very diplomatic and you may not be able to do your duty properly. If you're in a school and you have the duty of disciplining the children and have to correct them sometimes, but you're attached and everyone should like me, so oh, if I speak like that, no, the child will not like me or the parents will not like me, so then becomes a problem also. Everybody may like you, oh, he's so nice, so soft, but you're not doing your duty and they're going to get spoiled. So there is a subtle line there in being a well-wisher and being attached to being accepted as good, as nice, and like that, no? It's a very subtle line.
Before whom he wants to be recognized, acceptable? Before deer, unconscious deer? Because in the forest there were no people, except,
yes,
of this living entity as deer. How do he expect it to be recognized by deer? Is it not correct?
Just by seeing that the deer is there.
No,
he's feeling. He's getting the feeling that I am the protector. No, this deer is so.
Arjuna said, I cannot enjoy
my kingdom happiness without
seen by others, relatives, surrounded by others. But he wasn't surrounded by people who could understand the meaning of his trying to become very exalted men like friendly, etc.
Yes.
Whom he wanted to give the price?
For his own self, just like people give charity. And they feel good. They feel, oh, I'm so nice. I'm so charitable, I'm so generous, no? I gave so much money to this institution, I gave so much money to that hospital, I gave so much money for prasad distribution, and they feel good with themselves, right? They feel, oh, I'm so good. But it's still a material attachment, that I want to feel good about myself, no, I'm so nice. So he wanted to feel that kind of good feeling that, oh, I am so good, I'm taking care of this deer. No? Without me, what would be of that deer? That, like that, he's feeling good on his own. No, it's not about fame. He's not attached to fame. He gave up that already. But he's already attached to feeling that I am the well-wisher, I am the protector. Because kshatriyas also, they have that Ishvara Bhava. Ishvara Bhava means you have the mood that I am the controller, I am the protector. He was a king. So the king, he thinks, no, it's my duty to protect. And it is. But in a very subtle level, then you have to leave it up to Krishna. You may even, as long as you are in a position, you are a father, you are a husband, you are a leader, you have to do that. You cannot neglect. But you should not do that thinking that I am the doer. You have to do that thinking, okay, Krishna, they are your devotees, my wife is your devotee, so now I am in the position of taking care of her, but I am just the instrument. You gave me this person to take care for the time being, so I'm the instrument. But if you want to protect, then nobody can harm. And if you want to kill, nobody can protect. So even though I may be the instrument in Krishna's hand to take care of my wife and children and dependents, still I should remember that if Krishna wants to take them away, I cannot do anything. And if Krishna wants to protect them, even if I neglect, still they'll be protected. So I act just as an instrument, understanding Krishna is actually up to you. I'm just doing this because you put me in this situation for now, so I'm acting as your servant. In the moment that you show me, okay, now I'll change your duty now, it's time for you to do something else, then I do something else. It's not that I should think, no, oh, I cannot do this or that because they're all depending on me. So, very subtle. You have to be very introspective to see how at one level we have to act, we cannot be irresponsible. On the other level, we cannot become attached or identify ourselves as being the doers without seeing Krishna as the ultimate person behind everything. Is that okay? Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. You have a microphone? Or just... Let's see.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, sometimes like we have done a sufficient reading, hearing and chanting, and we have done like whole day we are busy in that, but suppose sometimes due to less sleep or bad health, we get frustration, and due to that we feel sometimes we are defeated, we are sometimes into sense gratification. So what should we do and what should we think? And
So, let me see if I understand.
Sometimes whole day we are busy in Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting and devotional service. But then due to less sleep or due to bad health, we may get frustration, and due to that we may fall victim to sense gratification.
Okay, so how to do that? How to protect ourselves? Chanting and hearing is the process for cleaning the heart. But sometimes, due to being either exhausted physically or due to some difficulties, we may have difficulty to keep hearing chanting constantly, and we may then be affected by Maya. Yes? So how to protect ourselves? So it's like a war. We are trying to keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness, and Maya is trying to find ways to distract us. Like a war. So sometimes we may win a battle, sometimes we may lose a battle, but we should continue. So even sometimes something wrong happens, you come back and you continue chanting, you continue here, you don't stop, like in a war. And you go on and on, and you tolerate the difficulties, you tolerate the times you suffer or the times you are like overwhelmed or overcome by some difficulty, you tolerate that, no? You have to be tolerant and continue in spite of the difficulty. Like for example, yeah, how's that? Nada pisa nichana, taroda pisa hijnana, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. So to always chant the holy name, you have to become very tolerant, just like the tree. You have to become very humble, just like the straw in the street. So humility means, even when something goes wrong, still you continue. No? You make a mistake, still you continue. If you're too proud, then you cannot accept that I made a mistake, no? That I was wrong. But if you're humble, then you can accept, yes, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I'm so fallen, but no, still I have no other shelter than Krishna. So let me continue. And someone may give you a hard time, but then you become intolerant, you can still continue. Or you may become sick, or you may be exhausted physically, but still you tolerate that and you go on chanting. So that humility and tolerance, that will allow us to go on and on chanting. In spite of difficulties, in spite of external attacks from our own mind or attacks from other people or from different situations in life. So that humility and tolerance is the secret to go on and on chanting constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Is that okay? Any other questions, comments, insights? Okay, so thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Jagannatha Baladeva Subhadra ki jai. Shri Ratha Yatra Mahamahotsava ki jai.